blessing in every circumstance.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks to the ladies. Lead us in worship. Thanks, comments. They were up early chasing trains to get to Weybridge as well. They did a great job. Thank you. Great. Blessing to be here this morning. If I look a bit tired, it's because I am. That's okay. We're all excited about life. There's Ethan there at the back. Bye-bye. You can see, it's an example to us all. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to be here. And, like I said, my daughter Emily is almost 4 weeks. Believe it, she's doing really well. She's moved her party time a little bit earlier, which is a little bit better for us. So it's normal. Now we party from about 10 to 12, so that's okay. It's much more acceptable time of the night to be awake. We'll see. Praise God. So let's pray into the Word. Father, we thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you that it doesn't come cheap. Your presence, Lord, we pay the highest price that we may draw near to you without fear, Lord, that we may draw near to you boldly, God. And we thank you for your peace here. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you that you are with us, God. And we thank you that you've given your word to us, Lord. And this morning we are here not so much for any man's opinion, Lord, but we are here with the desire, Lord, for you to impart resurrection life, God, through your word, by the power of your spirit, God. And so we open our hearts, we open our lives, God. We even declare, Lord, this nation and this city and this area and this building to be open for you to come and be the King of glory in our midst, Lord, for you to come and transform and change and let your kingdom be established right now and right here, God, in the name of Jesus. And let your name be exalted and glorified through everything that happens here and in and through our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brilliant. So it's been a bit crazy the last couple of weeks. If you've been watching the news or traveling in France and beyond, it's actually not only been the last couple of weeks. Over the last years, things have really escalated in terms of what we see in Matthew 24. Go and do yourself a favor. But actually, Pastor Fred ministered about this last week, Sunday morning in Stellenbosch, shofaronline.tv is where you will find that sermon. It's not for the faint-hearted, so you have been warned. Bit of a wake-up call. But if we look at Jesus speaking in Matthew 24, talks about rumors of wars, nations rising against the nation, and pestilences and earthquakes and, you know, natural disasters and all kinds of things. And you know what? When you read it in the context of what's happening all over the world today, it doesn't feel that far off anymore. It's very much a reality. But this morning I'm not going to talk about that. Praise the Lord. Isn't it incredible? Isn't it a blessing that amongst and in the midst of chaos and confusion and fear, lots of fear, lots of anxiety, lots of people doing ridiculous things all over and, you know, terrorizing people and whole societies, and amidst all of that, we can know and worship the Prince of Peace and know that He remains the Lord over all. A good friend of mine, Pastor Sia, always used to say, well, he probably still does, that there's no panic button in heaven. There's no, you know, when you feel like the world is, the bottom has fallen out of your world or whatever, that things are just going completely haywire. And you, I remember, you know, when we used to go to Pastor Seals with our big dramas and big problems, they would just say, you know what, calm down. Good news. Jesus is still on the throne. He hasn't fallen off. He's not running around in a panic. He's not calling 999. He's still in charge and on the throne. Hallelujah. Which, I'm not making light of what's happening all over the world. What I'm saying is that we serve the sovereign King and He still reigns. Amen. So, in the midst of all of this, we serve the Prince of Peace and we serve a Lord who is the God of order. And I'm going to start off in Philippians 2 from 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him, this is Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. As this here refers to God having put Christ in a very specific place of authority above everything else. So that it's quite simple, because there's nothing higher than that, that He is at the highest place of authority. And His name is above every other name. And this is kind of points to the fact that God is one that pays attention to order. And He has given Christ the name at the top, right? So He has got the top spot. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And translations refer specifically to the God of peace, not of peace, but of order. And so even amidst all of this, this is the reality of whom we serve. Christ has been given the name above every name. There's nothing that can topple him. There's nothing that can come close to him. He is still in charge. He's still the name over every name. He is still the King over all and the Lord over all. And He reigns and rules from that place of authority. And if we look around us in creation, and we see a natural order that is in place, we see, call them natural laws that are in place, that have been in place for thousands of years, and it's incredible if one looks a bit closer. Now, I'm not a big scientist or something. I've kind of just dipped my toes in there while studying engineering and stuff like that, but a little bit of engineering, not a lot. But if one looks at, even at the molecular level, at what's going on in the universe around us, even, and then also obviously in the massive expanse of the galaxies, whether you go very small or whether you go very big, it becomes so clear that there's a very, very detailed order in place. Okay, and if one looks, for instance, at the forces between planets and our local gravitational force, and is relation to the sun's gravitational force, etc. All of those are in such great specific order that if we had to change, say, those forces even just a little bit, things would go quite different. If you want to call it. Quite badly pear-shaped in quite a short period of time. So if we were to be a bit closer to the sun than we are now, then we wouldn't be wearing these jackets now. You know, we wouldn't be struggling with heaters and stuff like that. In fact, we'd probably die quite soon. It would become just too hot. And obviously, the other way is also true. If we were to go too far, the planet would also become uninhabitable. So these are such a fine design in terms of the order that is in place in nature around us, and it's beautiful. And the amazing thing about the natural laws, if you want to call them that, something like gravity, it's it doesn't depend on whether you agree with gravity. You can have a committee and in a different country say, listen, in this country we don't subscribe to this gravity thing. So we decide we don't agree with gravity. Gravity's out. And then nobody in that country is subject to gravity. No, it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't work, or fortunately. Okay. Yes. So no, it doesn't work like that, praise the Lord. So even as many of us boys, and even when we were boys and girls, found doing stunts like jumping off the roof with wings and stuff like that, you know, whether you like it or not, or whether you agree with it or not, gravity is applicable. Right? And the older you get, the more it just seems to count against you. But anyway, so... and the major thing is, so those are in place, and whether you know, where you were aware of what they are and what they're called and how they work or not, the reality is they, you can't escape them. And the amazing thing is, spiritually, it's exactly the same. So spiritually we have an order in place that is put in place by God, and whether we are aware of that order, and whether we are agreeing with that order is completely of no consequence, because we still are affected and are very much subject to that order. Amen? Are you with me? So, I don't have a lot of time to go into all the detail, but so just for instance, one of the areas which is normally people get nervous when you talk about orders in marriage, okay, especially if you want to do this politically correct thing. I'm very bad at being politically correct, so please forgive me. But so in marriage, there is a godly order, that a godly design, and an order that God has instituted, and I think I'm going to use this example and I'll put it across to different areas of our lives, right? So, if you're not married, just switch off now, okay? So, for instance, people get concerned that the Bible speaks about the husband being the head of the home, and about wives, you know, honoring their husbands. The world seems less concerned with the fact that the Bible commands husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, which for me is the most scary part of that verse, because Christ died for the church, just saying, okay? But anyway, so I see it like this, right? So, if you look at the difference between cooking and baking, okay? Now, I'm not going off on a tangent, relax. But in the last 9 years of happy marriage with my beautiful wife, who's just an amazing mother. Let me just make a note of that now. Hallelujah. She's amazing. I'm still recovering and adjusting, but Anna's doing amazing. But I've learned a lot, guys. I know it doesn't look like it. Maybe the manifestation isn't there, but I have learned a lot about cooking and baking. And maybe it just shows you where I was at before. Anyway, so what I've learned is that actually my dad cooks a bit. He's actually quite good. So what I've learned in cooking, when you're making something, is quite a bit of freedom. So if you like more pepper, you add pepper. If you think, oh, this needs a bit of that or this, then you just chuck some in. You can put it in before or after some spice. You know, it hasn't made such a massive difference, right? And at the end, you taste it. Oh, if it needs a bit of extra salt, you put something in or whatever. The thing, you can't take it out again, so that's obviously the key. But with baking, it's not like that. Okay? Now, I've made some bad flops in baking, so take it from me. Actually, the one time my wife was, it was with Abigail, our oldest, so she was pregnant with Abby, and she had severe morning sickness, and she was sitting like huddled in the corner of our kitchen in our flat at that point and giving me instructions because we had to bake a cake, but she wasn't physically able to, right? So I was doing the baking and the mixing. It's just amazing. We should have actually captured it on video because it doesn't happen that often. One of the big things is on the side. One of the big differences I noticed when Anna's using the kitchen and when I am is that, like, after I baked that carrot cake, I just want to say, God, it did actually taste amazing. I'm just saying, all right? She obviously gave very good instructions. Kept an eye on me. But the place looked like a bomb went off there. The kitchen was, it's like a disaster area. Seriously. And after Anna's finished, it looks neat. I don't know how she does. Look, while she's doing stuff, she's cleaning stuff here, and then while she's baking something or waiting for something there, she's rinsing here. So maybe I'm not like that. Anyway, so the thing with baking is, you have, if even if you know all the ingredients, even if somebody gives you all the ingredients on the table, say, this is what you need to bake this cake, then if you don't know the steps, I can guarantee you that cake is not going to look like what you want it to look like. Right? If you even just get the order wrong, it's probably going to be a mess because there's a chemical reaction that happens. Okay, trust me. I know this sounds foreign. Anything, trust me. This is, it can go really badly wrong. And in marriage, it's like that. And in a family, so you go to mom and dad and children, and it's not so much that one is more important, or the one is more significant, or the one should be bowed down to and the other one not. It's not like that at all. It's like all the ingredients of a cake, they are of equal importance and significance, but the order is important, because otherwise things go badly wrong, and pear-shaped, and that's not pleasant. And that's, I believe, one of the ways we can look at the order thing, because it doesn't always refer to significance. It doesn't refer to worth. When the Lord establishes order and wants us to submit to governing authorities, it doesn't refer to, it doesn't make, say you are less worth less than the Prime Minister. But it says something about what God has blessed and the order that He has blessed. And if we want to have a godly order, then there's a certain order and a blessing. Amen. All right, so in marriage, then, we need to read this as well. So let's quickly look at this one. This is in Daniel chapter 3. It's at the top there, which you can't see now. So I'll just fill you in on that. Daniel chapter 3. read with me from here. From 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. Sorry, pause. The context here was Daniel and his friends are taken into captivity with the nation of Israel. They are now captives. But these guys are of the brightest and of the best, that they've been pulled out of the rest of the nation, and they've been applied in specific positions, and they've actually got amazing favor on their lives. They're doing really well. God is blessing them. They've got favor with the king. They've been put into positions of authority. They've been acknowledged to be wise and competent in many ways. So these are not, they're not nobodies, they're not unknown to the king. The king puts in this new rule. There's these idols that have been erected up there. When the band plays music, blah, 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 there's some very specific decrees. Once this happens, everybody bows. No, nothing else. Everybody bows, no other choice. Everybody bows, otherwise you die. Okay, this is the decree. And now he finds out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel must have been on holiday or something because he's not around. They refuse to worship, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you Do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. We jump a little bit forward. If you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were waiting for that question. Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, I'm going to take this account a little from a different angle. Now, obviously, what happens after this is they don't bow. They are thrown into the fire, and the Lord delivers them miraculously. Actually, Christ Himself, the angel of the Lord, is with them in the fire, and they come out without having any sign that they've even been near any fire. Not even a smell of smoke upon them. And obviously massive, it's very, very public this thing happened, so massive effect. The king basically bows down and acknowledges that God is king, and Lord is Lord. God is Lord. And I want to look at it from a little bit different angle than we normally do. I want to say that these guys were living in godly order. Right, so they were, yes, they weren't in their own nation, they'd been in captivity, but even then they were submitting to the local government. They were submitting, they were even serving, they were actually doing very well, they were serving the king, they were being obedient to the king, alright? And then suddenly this thing happens, and it's clear from their reaction that up to now they've been in good standing with the king, but then it seems like there's a line that was reached, and they make clear that, listen, up to now everything has been fine, but what you're asking for us to do now is actually opposing the word of God, is opposing the law of God. So up to now we've been 100% able to, not only able to, require to submit to you, but once you cross this line, we can't be obedient to you anymore. We have to obey Christ first. And this is an amazing point. And and so the question that is that hangs here is, when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the point of it's getting a bit warm now, in terms of pressure or in terms of opposition, in terms of pressure from society and pressures of decisions, like these guys could probably feel the heat of the fire while they were having this conversation. When it comes to the crunch of you recognizing this is going to affect me, in this case I'm going to die now, what does it come down to? Who is or what is of most importance in your life, in my life? And what a beautiful example, because they are living in order, they are submitting, but now they get to a point where they say, listen, we won't do this. We cannot, we will not worship anything else. We worship Him alone. We will not bow down to anything else. We will not worship anything else. And God, and then I like the part where they say, God, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But then, he says, but if not, if for some reason God chooses not to, nothing changes. In other words, they are at a place of maturity in their understanding of Christ and God and His authority, that they recognize that because God is sovereign and because He is King, it is His prerogative to decide whether He will actually deliver them or not. And they are at peace with the fact that if should God for some reason decide not to deliver them from it, nothing changes. If this is their time, it's their time. Listen, even if God doesn't, even if for some reason He decides not to deliver us from the fire, nothing changes. We will worship Him alone. Isn't that powerful? And I want to say to us, God, that we are facing this situation much more often than you and I think. And we don't face it in the same way, or I hope not. If you have been threatened with a fiery furnace recently, please come and we will pray for you after. But obviously there are believers dying for their faith in the world, more today than probably any time in history. But even in our nation, we have still an amazing amount of freedom of religion, freedom of speech. There is a place where, in our decision making, in the way we approach situations, there's a time when the pressure comes on. And then there's a pressure to submit to what society would require of us. Or maybe there's a promotion, but for me to be able to get this next one, there's a few gray areas that come into the morality of some decisions that I have to make. And I know that will be required if I go into this position. Or there's a relationship that I'm considering with a lady or a gentleman, and this, and I know that because of where they're at, there's going to be a pressure on me to compromise on certain things and what I believe. Are you with me? In some ways, we think like these guys, thinking and realizing, you know, if we say something wrong now, we're dead. Sometimes in our career, it's like that. You realize, you know, if I handle this incorrectly now, it's going to be suicide for my career. I'm going to, if I don't say the right thing now, I'm going to be out the door. Are you with me? So I'm not saying, and often it's even more subtle than that. The enemy puts us in situations where the pressure's on, and if we're not alert, we find ourselves just drifting. And we recognize that, you know what, only later on we recognize, oh my goodness, I've got the order all wrong now. It often happens in the home, so that's why I mentioned the marriage thing. Even with children, you know, many, we pray for children for many years, we want children, we trust God for children, and then the blessing comes, and then suddenly, how often do we see, and I see in my own life, and I have to watch out for it, but you see families where, when you look closely, the children are at the center of importance in the family. And everything happens, all decisions are made around the needs and the wants of the child. Okay. How, you know, the blessing is there now. Why are you worshipping the blessing now? Why is it so easy for us? Maybe it's the job, not only the children. Maybe it's the job or the career you've been trusting for so long. And now it's there. Now God has blessed you. And suddenly, there's a bit of a shuffling of the order going on. And suddenly your decision making changes in terms of what is most important. Who or what is of most importance? Who or what do I worship above everything else? The other day we had to look for a school place for Abby. And I know, okay, I'm going to use other examples as well, okay? If you don't have children. But guys, it's not as simple as you think. Just saying, okay? This is like off-state reports and things like travel and commute and just this and faith and everything else. And I remember walking near the closest school, or one of the closest schools to our house, and praying, saying, Lord, you know, weighing up pros and cons and doing all the stuff that we need to do practically. And then I just had this conviction, and I said, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go absolutely mad if we're just weighing up pros and cons and making all the sums. I want to trust you, because ultimately we serve your purpose. And where Abigail or any of our children go to school has to serve your purpose. Has to make your kingdom come. That's the bottom line. And where we live is the same. Because we realize if she ends up in that school, we might have to move. And I remember saying, Lord, you know where we must move. You know where we must live. And we submit our desires and our plans and everything we would like to happen to you and say, God, our family and whatever we do ultimately is to serve your purpose and to see your kingdom come. And you know what? It was such a weight off my shoulders. Because little decisions like that can really just make you mad. You know? And I realized it was such a release. Because I immediately recognized this is God's order now. This makes sense now. Are you with me? Do you remember years ago when I was wrestling with God about Erna, whether I should date her? It's a big decision for me. I took it a bit more extreme than most, so please don't do the same. But before I asked Erna on the date, I wanted to be sure that she's my wife. Okay, so it doesn't always work like that. Okay, so just relax, okay? But this is now what I have in my heart. Hallelujah. The Lord is grace for us all. And I remember wrestling through it. But guys, decisions like these affect the rest of our lives. Affect everything. Where we live, which school we send our children to, obviously who we marry is huge. Who we have a relationship with. But those are the times when it's really crunch time and you recognize, oh my goodness, is what am I basing my decision on? What is at the core, at the center of this decision that I'm making? Is it my amazing analytical skills and I'm analyzing this thing and I've got all the lists and the sums are all done? But you know what? I'm not saying that's wrong. Please don't hear me out here. Do all that stuff. But make sure that what drives your decision making, what drives what's behind, is the fact that we live and die for the glory of God. Amen. And these guys have got that right. They were doing so great. They recognized we can go so far in this kingdom. We can go far politically. But they said, you know what, we can't cross this line. Amen. I want to say to you, if you have a desire for a blessing on your family, then order is important. If you're, and this is where it becomes counterintuitive, because the crisis and the little person running around in my house and their demands and their needs and their wants cries out very loudly. And it is so easy to just, you know, just focus on that and just have the little person rule the house. It's very easy. But you know what? If I really love those little people in my house, then I can't do that. Then I have to say, guys, your little tantrum's got to wait, because I know it feels like the world's realm revolves around you now, but it's not like that. You serve the King of Kings. And that's we as a family serve Him. So whether we're tired in the evening or whether it's uncomfortable or inconvenient, we will read Scripture and we will pray together. And there's certain things that are non-negotiable. There's certain things that... And you know what? It creates a blessed environment because there's order there. Amen? It's the same in our job situation. If you desire a blessing and order in your workplace, I want to challenge us all to go and evaluate what is God, is His purpose and His plan at the center of my career plans? Amen. And same with your relationship or potential relationship or marriage. If you want to talk about finance, I don't talk about it enough. But you know, I want to talk about it more, because I realize the more we understand God's heart for us in terms of finance and our resources, the more we're going to be blessed and the more we're going to flourish in what His purpose is for that. Amen? But this is always a great measure, because funny enough, well, Jesus compares
You know, he does compare worshipping God with worshipping mammon. It's one of the only comparisons he does in Scripture. So he recognizes the potential for our relationship with money to go pear-shaped. Right. So money is a great tool, great resource, great servant, slave. But money is not a good master. Right? It's not good when money is in the wrong position in the order. And I just want to encourage us, even when we make decisions about how we apply our finances, how these big decisions are going to affect our finance, I want to say to you and myself as well, let God be at the center of the decision. Let us draw the line like these guys, saying, guys, we worship God first in our finance, in our giving. I see a giving and I see sowing often as an act of worship. But I also see it as an act of warfare. Because I know there's so much the enemy is throwing at me that wants to contend with this place in my heart that is reserved for Christ alone. This place at the name above every name. I mean, the place as the King of Kings and Lord of all in my life. There's so much that wants to contend with that. And sometimes when worry about finance or stuff around that wants to creep in there, it's almost, I want to almost just go and give some money away. Just to make sure the enemy knows. Listen, even when I have an opportunity to bless somebody and I know I can't afford this one, there's no way it fits into the budget, you know, I almost want to be just almost more reckless because I know I'm helping myself, my heart, and my soul to be in order. And I'm also making the declaration in the spirit. I'm saying, guys, to the demons or whatever is trying to put their finger in the pie, I'm just like, guys, this is where my heart is at. I worship Him. Even when it comes to my substance, when it comes to my finance. So I want to challenge us, guys. Let's go. And I'm trusting Holy Spirit to put His finger on a few places in terms of where we're at. Okay, okay, now I can't read all the scriptures, so let's go forward. Mine is dead now, so let's see where we go. Okay, let's go for the John 1. Go back, left, yeah. Okay, John 3, 13. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And another place, actually, it also refers to that saying, when the Son of God, when Christ is lifted up, He draws all men unto Himself. And I want to say to us this morning that as we lift up the name of Jesus in our decision making, in our family, in our marriage, in the way we relate to our children, in the way we relate to our job or our career, and our finance, if Christ is lifted up, that's where the blessing comes. That's where the place of order comes. That's where there's a potential for salvation because Christ draws people unto Himself. Amen? But when we get that stuff mixed up, things just go pear-shaped. If, obviously, you've heard of the book by John Bevere, Undercover, refers to that our relationship even within the body of Christ. How we relate to the body, how do we serve the body, how do we serve Christ by serving the body, and how do we manage the order that God requires of us there. And guys, I want to say to you, I remember a time I was, CS is coming up a lot this morning, but I was driving with Pastor CS, like, I don't know what we were doing, probably some outreach or something. And at that point I really regretted that conversation. Okay, I'll tell you what it was. Okay, so my family, a lot of my sisters and my parents and some of my cousins had all at that point invested quite heavily in the same investment program or whatever scheme or whatever it was, and it was going like a Boeing. All right, it was like really doing well, and my cousin, they bought a house. With the returns, no jokes, seriously, like crazy stuff. I at that stage, I was studying commerce and stuff, so I had like this table set out of, okay, if I put this much in, and I could see what was coming out the other side. It was just amazing, you know. I was like, ready. Didn't have a lot of spare cash, but I was going to put all of it in there, and, you know, the Lord is going to bless me. And I was so excited. And I made a mistake of mentioning this to CEOs. I said, it's so cool, you know, this is the situation. Oh. And he just said, nah, you know what, I just don't feel peace about this. If I were you, I wouldn't do it. He didn't even say, don't do it. He didn't even say it straight like that, but I couldn't get myself to still consider it. And it's like, yeah, if I just didn't say anything, we wouldn't have talked about it, and then I would have just gone and done it, you know. But after that, but obviously years later, now I'm very glad, because what happened, within months, that thing fell apart so badly. But actually, probably might have been less than months, might have been weeks, but it fell apart so badly, and unfortunately, a lot of my family lost a lot of money. And obviously, I'm not pleased about that. But the Lord demonstrated something to me there in terms of, even in something small, well, not small, it would have been a lot of money, but even in something like that, because of the order that I submitted to, because of the fact that I submitted to the fact that God, he was my pastor and that I was accountable to him, the Lord blessed me and withheld potential loss, and also blessed me financially in many other ways. And I want to say, guys, that it's often those little conversations that we have with people in the body that are part of the order that God has put us in, that we, even without knowing, there's amazing protection there, guys. There's amazing blessing there. There's amazing just a surrounding that happens. Amen. And there's a safe place that God has prepared for us. Okay. Let's stand this morning. Just quickly go forward. That's the last one. Okay, let's just read the last one. Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills all in all. If Christ takes this place that is described, if he takes the place above everything else, above every principality, he has that place. But in our decision making, in the way we relate to one another, we relate to our finances, in the way we relate to our careers, our community, even our local church, our body of Christ, when Christ is lifted up, it's glorious. That is when the riches of the hope and the calling, that's when that manifests. That's when the fullness of life can actually happen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that even amidst the chaos around us in the world, even amidst so much uncertainty and stuff happening, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we serve a God of order, a God of peace. We serve the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord, even though we haven't had time to go into a lot of detail, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, call each of us into a place of glory, into a place of safety, into a place in your family, and in your order, in your will, where everything, when we're in that place, everything conspires to bless us. Everything around us is set up to fulfill your purpose and your kingdom to come. But we also recognize that we are able to choose to remove ourselves from that. And then things can go really badly wrong. Father, I thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit that you convict us of areas in our lives, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in the way we relate to money, even to the way we relate to your body, where things have gone out of order a little bit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, conviction and a grace to reposition ourselves. So God, we worship you above all things. In our decision making, in our planning, in our career, planning and ambitions, whatever you lay our hearts on, we declare that you alone are King of Kings. You alone are Lord of everything. Empower us with your spirit, with the boldness, God.
to worship you, Father. In the way we do business, in the way we relate to others, in the way we love people, that we would worship you above everything else. In the way we manage our finances, the way we manage our relationships, God, that your name would be lifted up, God. That you would be lifted up above everything else, even as we go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need to, if you want to respond to the word, or if you need somebody just to pray with you, please come to the front. I'd love to pray with you. Thanks for your patience this morning. Thanks for being here. And I want to really encourage you. Just feel if there might be one or two people wrestling with something that they're trusting for, or even on behalf of somebody else. And I just feel there's just a grace this morning just to come in agreement with somebody. Trust God for breakthrough. Amen. So if that's you, just ask somebody to come in agreement with you or join us in the prayer.